to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
All right, everyone. This is Memphis Mark coming to you from Mullet Manor. And we've got spring breaking up this week for NXT, the 423. And spring breaking, apparently we have 2 weeks of this, and I wasn't aware of the 2 weeks, or I guess I just overlooked it. But either way, this is week one, folks, and yeah, and they actually start off the show with Ava and Nick and well, all the GMs, you know, Adam and everybody. So they're blowing up Ava with her knowledge and her great history in the business. You know, she comes out and says it's going to be unforgettable or something to that effect, but either way it goes. The first match they start off with is, you know, like a triple threat title match. And you've got Lyra and Roxanne and Tatum going in, Tatum Paxley, and actually one of the better matches tonight. The timing wasn't, you know, exactly perfect in all this or whatever like that, but Lyra and Roxanne, really good in their spots. Tatum becoming an excellent wrestler. So, you know, this little deal, this little, to start the show off, you know, it did its job. It told a story. But Roxanne is going to end up, you know, with the win in this. And there was, you know, there was a few little mess ups, but nothing really, really bad. And all these ladies can work great. It's just, I don't particularly like them in a triple threat match. But, you know, I understand why they did it. And you know, so yeah, they go from that match, though, where they start having everybody and their next door neighbor to give a prediction on the Dragunov and the Trick Willie match later, the main event. And they get everybody from all the main rosters to some other people that I guess are stars, maybe some of the athletes for the Paris Olympics. I mean, it seemed like they asked everyone, and everyone gave their scripted opinion. Very good. So, yeah, you know, they do that a few times in the show, you know, where they just keep going over and over that. But, hey, it's filling time and giving everybody a little TV time. So, yeah, and then let me see. After that, they've got a new tag team coming out. And the guys looked good from what little spots I saw or I've seen of them. They looked pretty good in the ring. But they sounded a little New Day-ish with their verbiage and everything. I hope we're not getting a bigger version, a bigger, stronger version. But anyway, they're going to go into the next match. Well, they have a little deal with Jada Parker. She gets into it with Valen Henry, and it's going to set up a match later. Kind of the same thing they do each week. They go to the locker room and they come back out with a match. So yes, they got that coming up later. But they're gonna have Tony D and the family. You know, they're looking for a little money, a little payback from the No Quarter Catch crew. And I gotta say, born in this group, very, very good. Randy Ortonish, Damon Kemp, really, really good. He's going to convert over. I think he will end up being okay. Who would I put him more of a bigger, stronger Taz? Maybe, definitely more talented. And then, Yeah, you've got the Steven Regal. Oh, I mean, Charlie Dempsey. And Dempsey. In this match, you know, of course, Dempsey is the Heritage Cup, you know, holder. And that's what this is all going to end up coming back to next week, is a match in here. And as far as this match, this is one of the better matches, too, you know. So the first two, it looks like, yeah, I got, you know, if I was going to do a scoring from, say, 1 to 5, I mean, they're threes, two and three quarter, but somewhere in that range. But Tony D and the No Quarter Catch Crew, you know, the match is going to be pretty good. Man, I see so much in Dempsey and Regal. I could see them making him King of the Ring on down the road, and just there's a with his talent, it's unlimited. But and we got a Rampage Jackson reference from, I believe it was Booker T, on a slam that Tony D did. So I mean, you know, and Tony D, they're going to end up winning, you know, this match and getting a little revenge, which is pretty much just going to set up for an Heritage Cup spot on down the road. And you know, and they played it off pretty good. They told a story in this, so that's all you can ask for, folks. They told a story, and it was actually not so bad. Let me see. Then they've got a kind of a nice little spot with Baron Corbin, and you know what? They sent Dijak down to the NXT to kind of reinvent himself, and I guess he has or whatever. But Corbin, man, Corbin's starting to grow on me a little bit more and more. You know. You know, I don't know what it is, but they're doing a little promo spot with him and a camera guy. And, hey, Lexus King comes in and brings him a basket of goodies for him to take away as he's going to be leaving NXT. And that's going to lead up to a match in itself. But Baron does make a reference to Lexus King's beard. Saying it can't be real, man, and it is a pretty jacked. I mean, it's a lined up beard, that's for sure. And then, well, we're gonna end up having that match with Jada Parker and Valen Henry. Of course, OTM in the house coming out with her. The match itself. This would have been a 2.5 type of match. You know, Jada is just, I think, needs more time in the ring. I can see some great talent in there, and her facial expressions and her mannerisms. I mean, she's got star written over her, you know, all around her. But Valen Henry is kind of already there. She could be plucked from this roster and put right on the main event or the main roster. You know, the match itself is a pretty good match, but their go home, their finish, not so good. But yeah, Jada was doing some like Kevin Nash moves. That's one of the few times you're gonna hear someone mention when it's talking about wrestling moves and putting Kevin Nash name in there. I mean, look, I love me some, you know, Big Sexy, but he is not the in-ring performer. He's not the same type of in-ring performer. But you know, good. You know, I don't want him mad at me, but she used some Kevin Nash type moves. So as I said, the match itself, you know, pretty good. You know, it's just the go home. I just wasn't the craziest about. Let me see. We have a JC Jane and Jasmine. We have a sighting, and she's laying it down about Thea. And JC does pretty good with the stick. So I mean, you know, she. Although Jasmine behind her, like a behind her head. You know, if her head would have moved a little side to side, we'd have really had. Had something going there. And then we got a little spot with Natty. And let me, Miss Petrovich, whatever, Karen is out there. They're going to do a promo for the first ever Ladies Underground match. Yeah, so we'll see how this is going to go. But yeah, you know, somebody wrote it, so it will be done. But then we go into the contract signing for this first ever Ladies Underground match, and it was you know, they've got everybody surrounding the ring, of course, no ropes, you know, their backwoods version of UFC, I guess you would say. But Natty comes out there with KP and you know, talking their stuff, and Lola comes out, of course, makes a couple good remarks, you know, saying that she not only shakes her butt, but she can kick some butt. You know, it's you know, wasn't so bad. But Natty did have some good spots, talking about, you know, the respect for Lola since she had fought in the cage. But Natty brings up the dungeon, you know, the Stu Hart dungeon. So yeah, good little spot there. And you know, we gotta have a good end, you know, we gotta have a good end. So let me see, somebody gets hit, and then well, they bring Shayna Baszler out and reveal her as Lola's trainer. And so yeah, there's some words, and KP kicks you know, Shayna upside the head after she gets shoved, and you know, Natty and Lola throw down a little bit. Natty throws Lola into the wrestlers that are surrounding the actual ring. They catch her. Yeah, good little spot there. Good little spot. You know, I mean, can't say, you know, nothing too bad. Let's see. We got Ridge Holland and Sean Spears doing their little promo spot. And it goes into a little deal with in the locker room with Anofi and Blade, and you've got well, there's one of the LWO in there, and then you've got the Good Brothers come in, and well, yeah, not so bad little spot. They have a mirror there, so you know, they got to break the mirror, so, and that's what they do. And I guess Anofi has got 7 years of bad luck coming. I guess that's where they're going with that. But after this, though, like I was saying on the ratings, if I was going to do 1 to 5, folks, this was a 1. I cannot. I got to be truthful on this. This is the beach brawl match between Blair Davenport and Sol Ruka. And they bring out the extreme Terry Funk ECW style. It's with a foam board, like a surfboard or a boogie board. You know, they've got a football. Somebody gets smacked upside the head by a beach ball. We have a suplex into a small kiddies pool full of little balls. I mean, these ladies went out and performed the match. I would say, ladies good, match bad. That was about the easiest way I can put that, man. You know, Sol Ruka is going to win the match, you know, and she does some spectacular moves. And of course, Blair Davenport is consistent, just straight ahead, good in-ring performer. But it's hard to make a plastic beach ball look. Don't know who wrote this one, but they need to be set down and explain a few things. They need explaining to. And then they're gonna do a trick promo, a trick Williams promo, and this is where it's starting to push the limits here. All right, apparently his mother is in the hospital, and he was calling her. And of course, she ends the conversation with, whoop that trick. You know, I was loving to whoop the trick at first. I was loving it at first. Yeah. But yeah, they do a little, and oh yeah, Johnny Gargano's got to show up and give a little pep talk and to Trick and yeah, I guess, you know, all right. But then they go into a promo for the next premium live event, which would be Battleground. And they're going to do it in Vegas, which, hey, cool, sounds good. But they're going to do it at a UFC facility using the UFC ring. This should be pretty interesting. You know, I remember UFC saying that they did not want to bleed the wrestling in, but everybody says a lot of things until they own a business, and then you do what you got to do. So maybe that's what they're doing here. I'm not sure. But this should be pretty interesting to see how they pull this off. You know that they're going to have all the good camera angles and all that stuff's already covered. UFC's, you know they've got that covered. But how the facility plays itself to a premium live event for NXT, we will see. We'll see how it goes. And then we got, before the main event, we've got one more match, and it's the added match because of the basket and the beard. You got Baron Corbin going up against Alexis King, the second generation wrestler, going against the ex-NFL guy. And I got to say, the match was pretty good. Pretty good. They told a story in there. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but they told a good story. They laid it out. They actually did do everything. I mean, there's nothing really bad I could say about this. Both of these guys can work. Lexus, of course, is a far less time in the ring, but he's the real deal. And with that grooming technique he's got, you know, hey, he's going to the top, straight to the moon. But yeah, they put on a good show. Put on a good show. How are we gonna, you know, pull this off to where, you know, there's a win-win with a loss? So you get a win-win with a loss. You have the referee's back turn and then do a little grapefruit checking. So Baron gets one in the old yam bags, as Taz would say it there. And Corbin goes down after a big move from Lexus King. So Lexus King pulls off the big, probably the biggest win of his career so far on NXT, you know. So, hey, beat a former champ and King of the Ring. So there you go. Let me see. They do a little spot with metaphor. The car breaks down and the two gentlemen get out, and at least they did figure out how to get the hood up, and they're out there trying to figure out what to do to the car. And then the ladies come over and pretty much say, get back in the car, Metros, and get in there. You don't know what you're doing. And the ladies get everything working, and you see them driving off. So the ladies save the day for Metaphor, for Mensa and Noam. And they had them. They had one of the ladies was going to hitchhike, and I don't know if anybody really even knows what hitchhiking is anymore. I actually have done a little hitchhiking in my days when I was younger, and so when they do Metaphor, when Noam does his little his little hitchhiking spot, it's, you know, hey, they've got a good chemistry together. You know, Noam's a lot funnier than I thought he was. You know, I mean, you know, I kind of like the way they're breaking him out, giving him a little bit of a push, and we're getting to see a little, you know, the other side. And then Mensa, same way as Mensa, kind of, you know, kind of funny. He ends up taking the grunt of most of the stuff, but still. And now he can go in the ring too. So, yeah, they're getting him that TV time for sure. So, yeah, we had the gonads taken care of by Alexis. So Baron loses that, Lexus gets that win, and then, of course, they're going to do a few more minutes of predictions to where, you know, every Tom, Dick, and Harry is over here, you know, telling who they think of their opinion on who's going to win this match. But they actually do come off and have the actual match. And they've even got Baron or Brian, or I can't think of the reporter's name, but the main roster reporter over there interviewing Trick before he comes out. Trick's getting really good with on the stick himself, with giving us, you know, his spots. And so he pulls it off and runs out there when they're doing it. And then, of course, we whoop the Trick for a little while there. And then, of course, now you've got Dragunov coming out, changing the mood of the room. And this match is probably, you know, one of the better ones, I'd say. You know, it's a 3. I would say it's a 3 out of the, you know, using a 1 to 5. And, Dragunov is always going to pull it off and make it look good. And don't get me wrong, Trick does a great job in here most of the time. It's just, man, they're giving him a monster push. I mean, he's going straight to the line, going past go and collecting $200, pulling. I mean, they're putting all their eggs in one basket. And in the match, Dragunov carries the match mostly, and pulls through. It just seems like somebody that was getting this kind of a push would already have a few of these things, maybe taken care of. But maybe it's just the timing, and they're going, you know, they're riding the wave, and giving the push maybe a little prematurely. But they're doing it. And in this match, you know, they have a little of everything. Dragunov looks like he may have re-injured his wrist or his hand while he was pulling the H-bomb off the top rope on Trick 2 times and then a 3rd, which all get kicked out. And one of the times is because he has a pain in there. And he can't get over there quick enough for a pin. And, man, they go back and forth. Now, the end, you know, it sounded like somebody was telling him, you know, whatever version of go home in this one. The end was okay. It was okay. And the match, you know, was pretty good. I just think it could have. It did not live up to the hype, is what I'll say. And when I gave it a 3 on the 3 at 1 to 5, I was being generous a little bit, probably about a half a point, because they just pulled it off. But even at the end, all right, so they pull it off, and it looks like Trick's getting ready to do his, you know, a ceremonial, like get up on the ropes or whatever, and you can clearly hear the ref going, you look, we got 1 minute. So Dragunov goes over and kind of presents him with the belt, and Trick goes to go back up on those ropes again. And when he does that, the ref, you see him come over and touch his foot, like get his attention, like because the crowd will be going so loud. So they do a touchy-feely to make sure the guys make eye contact. And it was like, you got 1 minute. You could clear him, so you got 1 minute. So he knew to get the belt, get down, and get ready for that money shot at the end where he's in the crowd and everybody's going crazy because Trick Willie pinned Dragunov. So, you know, big deal. I guess Dragunov is going to go take maybe a few weeks off. Maybe they'll use him in a European tour over there or something like that. But, yeah, we have a new NXT champion in Trick Williams. So get ready to see a lot of those t-shirts, and you'll see a lot more Lola Vice merchandise too, because they're really, I think, doing a good job of doing that. But Yeah, so we got a new champ. So we'll see how he does from here, folks. That's faux show. All right, guys. Well, you know, that is the first week of spring breaking. It just, anyway. All right, let me see. I did have one little note I wrote down. Oh, yes. In the show, they do a spot with the New Testament or whatever they're called here, but you got Paul Ellering and the guys cross and everything, but I haven't really heard them do any promo spots with Paul Ellering speaking, because he was such an elegant look. When the first time I saw Paul Ellering, he was a wrestler, and he came through the Memphis territory and did pretty good, but he was so stiff, and he just didn't have quite the fluid moves that everyone here had. So he wasn't here a long time, but then within like 4 years after that, bam, they put him with the Road Warriors, and the rest was history. They finally let the cat out of the bag. They let the beast loose, and they let Paul Ellering speak. So kudos to whoever finally figured that out. Anyway, all right, guys, I guess that's pretty much it. So we'll wrap it up here. Gotta get flying and jet flying and limousine riding, and so I gotta get unpacked, and we'll get everything taken care of. And thank you again, guys, for taking a couple minutes out of your week to listen. And if you can, get to a shelter, or get out there and help wherever you can. Help a rescue out there. And spay and neuter. Absolutely getting ready to have to do that myself to the big pup. Got to get him fixed. So, yeah, guys, you have a great, great week. And this is Memphis Mark, and I'm out of here.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show. Or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to Patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.